So is my stomach. I mean, I literally couldn't get my belt on tonight, and it was a problem. So thank you, church. You guys are such good cooks, but I really been crying tonight, too. You are incredible dessert makers in particular. I think this is like the dessert capital of the Midwest. Everything that you make is just delicious and incredible, and so wow. I want to say something to you, and for many of you that know me, I hope you feel this about me. I will always tell you the truth. And I've been coming out here for a lot of years, never doing this. I thank you for this opportunity. But please hear me on this. You are better than you've ever been. And I really came to that conclusion today after spending a couple days with you. You've been purged some. You have been stretched a lot. You know how muscle grows? Being stretched. And I'm just telling you, you're in a place I've never seen the Maple City Baptist Church. But wait, Bob, there's more. And some of you have said some of these messages have been getting all over you, and I just want to know they're all over me too. Because we can't play games. And this one's going to be hard tonight. It's been hard for me. It's just a hard way to live. But my heart is really full. I'm really blessed by you guys. And man, I just hope God just continues to strengthen us and make us better for this journey. So we finish well. We're going to be on the other side in just a short time. And we're going to look back at all this stuff that we did. And man, I hope this conference is just one of the special ones for you, that you even really turned the corner and did so much more for the Lord. But you've been through it. I thought I was going to come out, and I thought you guys were kind of going to be a little bit of a disaster. I mean, we've got COVID. You've had your troubles. You've had, you know, this and that. And I'm like, gosh, they're better than ever. Will you take that from me? God's doing good things. So you're part of something super, super special. Courtney, you've been out here too. You would agree with that. All right, and thanks for letting me be a little part of this. I am not the main gig, and that's what I love as well. Yes, I get to bring the word. I will always be the man that will stand up for the Lord and speak for him. But, man, you participate as much, again, with the food, with the way you guys do what you do back there, all these little gatherings we've had and the talks and sharing. So, again, thanks for letting me be a part of it. We're in Acts chapter 1. That's what we're working through for our outline. And it's what's the mission of the church and how's the mission going? And so when I went to the book of Acts, kind of where the church begins, I just saw this little outline and I'm like, that's a good one. And the Lord led me to some messages. And the first thing we saw in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 is that before Jesus gives them kind of their commission, the only place in the Bible the word passion comes up is about Christ, how he showed himself alive by his passion. We have got to start this thing with having the same passion we have had when we first came alive in Jesus Christ. Amen? Have you lost that loving feeling? If you have, get it back. You can. You can go back. Jesus told that church in Revelation that lost their first love, go back to it. So it's definitely a possible thing. And then yesterday we looked at the power. What I liked about passion too is God led us to the Rechabites. Don't ever forget the Rechabites. 2,600 years ago, this little house of people were so powerful, God highlighted them and used them for an illustration all the way to this very day by their passion. And then yesterday, because of Acts 1:8, because he talked to the Jews in between 4 and 8, and we get to 8, and he says, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. And that power is connected to the Holy Ghost after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The power is here. If you are saved, you got the power. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament, be filled with the Spirit. You got it. Be filled. The gas is in the tank. The airplane is on the runway ready to go. Be filled. Put it in gear. Turn the engine on and go. Fly. Fly for the Lord. You know what we can do with the Spirit, though? We can grieve it and we can quench it. we can kind of put it out temporarily, but it's still there and it can be fired up. And we want to have power in what we do, and we talked about all that yesterday. Now today, we move into the next part of this kind of commissioning, if you will, and to me, how we should evaluate the church. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So tonight we're going to focus in on ye shall be witnesses. We looked at our passion, we looked at our power, and tonight it's our purpose. Our purpose is to be God's witnesses. And so I told you the other day that I was a little bored. I was losing that love and feeling. And I told the Lord, God, I'm just a little bored. I'm ready for something. I'm ready for something more. And Courtney was surprised by that, and that's okay. She can pray what she wants. I'll pray what I want, and we'll see what God does with us. But it really became apparent that at our home church, we needed to do a split, a good church split. We've had so many people say to us, oh, you split churches? Yeah, it was a really good church split. It was a good one. It was intended, but it was 2 years ago that we came to this conclusion in our church that we're too full. We have to do something. We either blow out the walls and find something bigger for us, or we go. And so the pastor that I was that was over me said, "You are the most equipped. You are the most ready. But do you want to go?" And I said to him, "Well, I really." How do you tell your boss, yeah, I want to go. Like, I hate you. I want to get out of here. So I said, no, well, I want to stay. And I liked what I was doing, but I want to go. And he said, that's not an answer. I need to know whether you want to go or you want to stay. And I thought, well, it's not my decision by myself. It's a family decision. So we were going on a little vacation, a little spring break getaway, and that was going to be it. We were going to talk about it. We were going to pray through it as a family because it's me and my family. Andrew, you get it, right? We're either all in or we're not. So we're down in Texas on this vacation, and we're talking, and I just remember the way that the conversation went. It was like a dad. It's pretty obvious. We're not told anywhere in Scripture to stay. We're supposed to go. I mean, it was really quite a quick decision. And my kids were like, oh, yeah, and some of the places we were looking, our friends will be there, and it'll be really cool. And then we ended up not going to those places. Like, you still want to go? But the decision was go because that's what we're supposed to do. And so how does that look? How does that work? In our church, I've been teaching through the book of Matthew, and I came across just one of my favorite stories a few weeks ago. And I preached it, and I thought, it's kind of out of place, and it's a strange little story. And the more I looked at it, I thought, you know, the reason I like it is because it's really kind of the model for going. It's the model for doing, letting the power kick in and doing great things for God. And so are you ready to go today? Let's take a look. Go over to Matthew chapter 8. Ye shall be witnesses is what we're looking at tonight. Our purpose is to be witnesses for God. We're in Matthew chapter 8. And when I preached this to our church, it was following the king wherever he leads. Following the king wherever he leads is what I called it. There's going to be 3 points to the outline tonight. I appreciate you, Mike, saying that I'm pretty simple. I do think I am simple, but my wife says I'm complicated sometimes, so whatever. It goes lots of directions. But at least in the Word of God, I'm simple. Matthew chapter 8, following the king wherever he leads. So point number one in this little story is discipleship lessons for the journey. So we're going to look at the story, and many of you know it, where Jesus has his disciples. Well, let me give you the background. So Jesus is baptized. Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount. He gives 3 chapters of just instruction. And then pretty much he does some healing. And then he says, hey, guys, let's get in the boat. We got to go to the other side. And it's just really strange because he came for Israel, and they get in the boat, and they go over to the Gentile side. The Sea of Galilee had a Jewish side, and it had a Gentile side. And we know that this was the Gentile side because we're going to find pigs over here. Pigs, Jews, they don't go together. So they're going over to the other side. And before they go, though, he gives them some discipleship lessons. And before we get into this, let me just, would you put, Jordan, would you put John chapter 8, verse 31 on the screen? John 8:31. No, I know. No, you stay in Matthew. Oh, you did. Okay, I thought somebody out here was talking. John 8:31. Shazam. Bam. There we go. All right, now, if you've never heard this, this might be controversial to you, but it is what it is. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And what that tells me right there is there are some people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. Amen? You see that? But then he says, if you continue in my word, if you go deeper, if you go further, you're my disciples. So there's difference between believers and disciples. That's pretty cool. And the disciples, it's harder. So this thing tonight, he's going to say some very hard things to disciples. Some of you are going to reject it. You're not going to like what you hear from the Lord tonight. But he's speaking to disciples. And disciples will hear it. You will hear it. The disciples here heard it. In fact, they had to work through these things. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start our journey. Verse 18, Matthew chapter 8. Now when Jesus saw the multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. They're going to get in the boat and go to the other side of Galilee. And a certain scribe came. Now we know this is a disciple because he's going to talk to two people here. And then the next guy, and another of his disciples came. But it says a certain scribe. Now, before we go on, let me just say this. Matthew himself is not called until chapter 9. So this is not, the 12 are not all together yet. These are a lot of different disciples that are kind of following Christ. So this one disciple comes and he says to him in verse 19, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples, so that first one was a disciple. Maybe that first one, it says it was a certain scribe. Maybe that was Luke. Maybe that was the Apostle Mark. And they're questioning Christ. I want to follow you wherever. And he says, well, wherever means you might not have a home, because I don't have a home. The second disciple comes and says in verse 21, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now these things, they're very difficult, but they're discipleship lessons for us. So ye shall be witnesses if we are going to go wherever the Lord is going to take us. He says, get in the boat. And this one disciple says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, well, I don't have a home. Can you handle that? Now what's that mean for us? He may call us to follow Jesus Christ wherever he may call you as a disciple will involve or may involve a transient lifestyle. We saw that with the Rechabites, didn't we? No permanent roots. You want to be a disciple that follows Jesus Christ? You shall be my witnesses. You may go places you never thought you'd go because the Lord didn't have a home. He didn't have any permanent residence. In fact, in John chapter 7 and verse 53, the Bible says after he preached there that every man went to his house, and then the next verse says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. He didn't have a home. He didn't have some of the luxuries that we have. I like what he says here too. He says, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests. It's very interesting when you study those words out in the Bible. Back in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, it says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But my favorite is in Luke chapter 13 and verse 32. And I don't know if I ever remember the story too well, but I do remember that some of the disciples were saying, hey Lord, Herod is saying this and doing this, and Jesus responds and said, well, that old fox, he calls Herod an old fox. Herod was a corrupt government leader. And I think there's just a little bit of irony in here. He says, foxes have holes and birds have nests. So foxes are kind of like corrupt government leaders. And birds have nests. Over in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible says there it's about false religion, and it says, when the great whore of Babylon falls, which she represents all false religion, says that many unclean and hateful birds have lodged in her. So here's the point. Government officials and false religious people are going to live better than you and I. Does that make sense? So on the journey, we're going to have this transient lifestyle, and it's going to look like they're doing the right things because they're going to live better than us. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And then it's a transient lifestyle to truly follow Jesus wherever he goes and be his witness. The second discipleship lesson was, Lord, I want to follow you as well. And he says, but I got to go bury my father. And Jesus says, and I'm telling you, this is hard. Let the dead bury their dead. I mean, how'd you like to hear that from the Lord Jesus? Now, let's soften this a little bit, all right, so we can handle it. I don't think that he was saying to him, they say in that culture that it wasn't just that his father died. My father was sick the last several years of his life. And I think what they say this probably meant was, my father's close to death, and I really need to stay, and I need to take care of him, and I need to make sure he finishes well. And you know what Christ's response to that was? That's not necessarily the call of disciples. You might have to give up some of the luxuries in this world that everybody else gets to experience, right? Let the dead bury their dead. Now, what does that mean, let the dead bury their dead? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, and you hath he quickened who were, you know that verse? And you hath he quickened or made alive which were dead in your trespasses and sins. Would you put on the screen, Jordan, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8? Shazam. There we go. It worked that time. But if any, now this is a story about widows in 1 Timothy 5 and how they're to be cared for the church. But then he says there's some widows that don't deserve to be cared for by the church, and it says why? If any provide not for his own, especially of his own house, that is not the right verse. So it's verse 6. Oh, okay. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So it's talking about a widow that is not really worthy of the church's support. It's talking about a person that's alive but is actually dead. That makes sense? So you can be alive. We were alive before we received Christ, but according to the Bible, we were actually dead. And here's the point. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. If you're a disciple that wants to follow Jesus wherever he goes and you want to be his witness, we're going to live different than the rest of the world, and we're not going to have those luxuries necessarily of burying our own family. Andrew, you're going to go across the sea, and it may be very difficult for you to get back to do what you need to do. Are you willing to do that? Because that's the call of disciples to go and be the witness of Christ. Eddie Ziss, you support him. Eddie went off to the Philippines, and listen, this is exactly how it worked for him. His dad was gravely ill, but it was his call to go. And so he and his dad talked, and his dad said, when I pass, I don't want you to come home. We'll meet on the other side. It's been a good journey, but I'm ready to go. You do what God's called you to do. I'm telling you, that's hard. So Eddie went to the Philippines. His dad passed, and he did not come home. But he's going to see his dad real soon. It's going to be a great victory day. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ that goes wherever he tells us to go and be his witness, as a disciple, it's going to be a transient lifestyle. Some of us aren't up for that. Some of us aren't up for going wherever the Lord wants us to go. And foxes and birds are going to live better than us. And then we aren't necessarily going to have the luxuries of some of the things that everybody else is having, burying your own family. The way that he even says this, another observation is, let the dead bury their dead. I know you're formerly in the military and you're now in the police. It's like just the tough talk of the military. You need to go do this. You need to go do this. It's militaristic in a sense because we are in the Lord's army. We're not going to get to do some of those things. Are you in? Yes, sir. I'm in. I don't know whether these two disciples got on the boat. I kind of like to think they did. And I wonder when God calls us to go wherever he needs us to go, if we will get on the boat as well. These are considerations. It means And maybe this is a fun one for you. Monmouth is not going to be your home. You'd be like, yes, call me. But listen, Maple City, you're not supposed to get super comfortable here. I mean, have fun here while it lasts. But does Aquaca need a new Baptist church? I would think from who I heard was running, you probably need a new church in Aquaca. Just kidding. That's a local joke. But do some of these cities around here need Bible churches? And you're a Bible church? Yeah, but I'm comfortable here. Yeah, but the call is to go. The call is to go. We moved 20 minutes from our former church, and it's not comfortable. It's getting there. But then when it gets comfortable, God's going to say, okay, this is where I want you to go now. It's a transient lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle with maybe not all the luxuries that everybody else has. Are you tracking with me? I've told you, this is hard. This is hard tonight. Now, so the first point is discipleship lessons for the journey. To follow Jesus wherever he may call you will be a transient lifestyle. And you might not get to do all the things that everybody else gets to do. And the point is, we're living for something different. And then verse 23. So let's get in the boat. And when they entered into the ship, the disciples followed him. Now, again, I think that kind of indicates that these two guys got in the boat. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep, Christ. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So you have these discipleship lessons. The disciples get in the boat, and then you got the storm. Now, I think all of this pictures the local church, because, and I don't know if you use this around here, but we use this at our place. Our church auditorium actually looks like a ship. It's really strange. We call it the GBC ship, Greentown Baptist Church ship. We're fellows in a ship. You ever heard that for fellowship? Fellows in a ship. So we fellowship, and we always equate that with eating, but fellows in a ship, they eat together, they sleep together, they sweat together, they work together, they fight together, they endure storms together. That is everything fellowship is. And so I think these fellows getting in a ship and going on the sea to the other side because there's something that needs to be done pictures what the church is all about. And not just that, these fellows get in the ship and they go, and then they come upon a storm. Let me just say this about our ship experience with the Lord. It is not meant to be a cruise ship. We are not sailing smooth. Now, I will say this. You guys have buffets every day, so that's pretty sweet because that is a cruise experience. So that's probably the only exception with MCBC. But what I like, and I even thought about this as I came out, we're sailing in the GBC ship, and the MCBC ship is here, just a little bit further. We're on the sea. The Bible says this was at night. You know, in Romans it says, how does it start with the night? The night is far spent, the day is at hand, wake up. The Bible says the time that we're living in is the night. We're fellows in a ship going across the sea. We know the destination, right? Where's the destination for us? Heaven. But we don't know anything about the journey. You don't know anything we're going to encounter. Listen, MCBC ship, you don't know what's next. You don't know what's next. But guess who's in the boat? Jesus Christ. Jesus is in the boat. He's with you. Now, these guys freak out on this journey because of the storm. I think I would too. And I don't think equating this storm to our troubles is such a far leap. Would you put up Psalm 107, verses 28 and 29? Let's start at 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So he's talking about troubles and distresses. Now go to verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Troubles and distresses that we experience are just like this story's storm. Okay, you tracking with me? So this is very applicable to us. This peaceful journey, we're serving the Lord, we got saved, we got in the ship, we're going wherever he wants us to go, is interrupted by a sudden, unforeseen storm that assaults them. Brother, you're getting in the ship. Andrew, you're sailing to the other side of the world. You know destination, but you do not know what's all on that journey. And that's being a witness for Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. I want to show you this. It's really funny how this works in our lives. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. What's it say? Okay, let's start again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. It just happened to me. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I can't wait till we get to the other side and we see all the stuff that was behind some of the suffering that we went through. But when something happens, a car accident, an accusation, like an illness, what do they call it when you're Josie and when you get... Yeah, it's not cancer. A diagnosis. I'm sorry, I lost the word. Listen, it's suddenly, it's unexpected. And it's a trouble. And what do? Why me? How could this, Lord, I was following you. I was walking along. He says, think it not strange. But the first thing we do is, this is so strange. Why did this happen to me? He says, don't do that. Don't do that. But just know that that's a part of the journey. So they're in this boat, and they're thinking, we're with the Lord, and all is good, and this unexpected storm comes up. And they're terrified, and they feel abandoned in the storm, and yet... Jesus is in the boat. Now, it's very interesting how this is described here. He's what in the boat? He's asleep. What does the New Testament say about sleep? When someone is when a Christian has passed away or died, that they have, he told the disciples that Lazarus was sleeping. In several places, he uses the analogy of when, it says that when he returns, I know in one of the passages, when he returns, he's going to bring those that were sleeping back with him. What a beautiful description of going to the other side, just going to sleep. It's just so peaceful. And then you're in like la-la land. You're in the best thing that's ever, the dream of the century. But he's going to bring those that sleep back. Jesus is asleep in the boat. Listen, Jesus is very much alive today, and he's in this boat with you and I. He's alive. He's asleep in the boat, and they're freaking out, but the Lord is with them, and we do the same thing. We freak out, but he's there. Now, what does he do? I think all of this is out of order. We read it. They're like, Lord, Lord, and he wakes up. We call on him in prayer. But he does not calm the storm first. What does he do? He rebukes them. And this is told in Matthew, Mark, I think in three of the Gospels. And in essence, what he says to them is, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Now, Jared, my son, I have to shave all the time. I just got a real strong beard that comes in. So I have a razor, and he sees me doing it all the time. When he was a little boy, I said, son, that thing is sharp. It will cut you. I know you want to be like daddy, but don't touch it. He wanted to. So we bought him a fake one, and it was cool. You know, he's doing this whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool, too. You have to do it every day, but have fun. Have fun with that. And then, you know, we hear him crying out one day, and we go up, and there's just blood coming down. And I'm like, oh, I used the razor. And I said, Jared, did you use the razor? And he says, no. I said, Jared, did you use the razor? No. Jared. And she's like, Jay, he's bleeding. I'm more concerned about him lying than him bleeding. So we took care of him. And I thought, it's not a big cut. I really wasn't heartless to my son. But in this situation, Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the disciples. Listen, that's a great lesson for us. Jesus didn't care about the storm. He cared about them being afraid when he was there and them lacking faith. Listen, that is what we need to hear tonight is we're going to go through storms, but Christ is, he's there in the boat and he's wondering why we're afraid and where's our faith. And I'm telling you, that's the stuff that we struggle with in this world. If it happens to us, Randy, what did you say? God authorized it. He allowed it to happen. So have faith through whatever you go through and do not be afraid. And I'm telling you, those things are hard. This is a hard message tonight. This is a hard lesson for us tonight. Now, in this storm, and by the way, we know God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We've looked at that in the past this week. But there's two things, too, about this storm that I want you to note. There's many people that think this is a very strange storm because he rebuked the disciples, and then it says he rebuked the storm. He rebuked the waves and he rebuked the wind. You don't do that to the nature that you created. And so there's a lot of people that think this wasn't a normal storm. This thing was getting underway with the disciples and they believed because he rebuked it that there was probably some supernatural evil to the storm. And I read that at first, some opinions of some of the authors, and I thought, yeah, whatever. And then I thought the storms we go through are not ordinary storms. There's evil and wicked things that happen to us that don't happen to other people. And when you look, why did this happen this way? This is just overboard. There's nothing right about the way this unfolded. Yeah, there's more behind this than meets the eye. Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? To go where he wants us to go, these are things that we've got to consider when storms come our way. And I'm telling you, that Ephesians makes it very clear, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's a whole lot coming against this GBC ship. No, this MCBC ship. There's a whole lot coming against the GBC ship as well. And some of it's supernatural. And we just can't say, well, what? Oh, I can't believe this happened to us. No, believe it. That means you're in the game. That means you matter. That means you're important. So the storm comes and all these things unfold. Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Let me say this too, and I know I've said this earlier in the week. We're on this journey. We know where we're heading. Where are we in God's timeline? Are we kind of in the middle of the church? Are we kind of near the beginning? Or are we at the end of the church age? What do you think about that? We're at the end. You know something the Lord says about the end, and he really says it about the tribulation period, but we're at the time of the end. It's all wrapped in there. He says, when I return, I'm wondering if I'll find any faith on the earth. You know what that tells me? Things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse, and we are going to really doubt that God is in any of this. I'm telling you, when these things happen, we've got to have our faith. We can't lose our faith, and we can't be afraid. We got the power, amen? So let's stay passionate on the mission in the storm. Now, the disciples were learning this, but we're talking about being witnesses and going on this journey with the Lord. So that's why we got to talk about all this tonight. So we have point number one, discipleship lessons for the journey. Point number two, I think he gave us another discipleship lesson. Don't be afraid and trust in your faith. Trust in everything you know that God said. And now we go, we come through the storm. Actually, he rebukes the wind and the sea, and he brings a great calm. But now let's go ahead to an unexpected mission with unexpected results. Look at verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. So you got the discipleship stuff, and that's hard enough. And then you go through the storm, and then you get to the other side, and you encounter devils. Guys possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Isn't that interesting? The devils know the time. The devils know what time it is. Do we know what time it is? Most of God's people don't. And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding, so that the devils besought them, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go, and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. What a scene. And by the way, when I was over in Israel, I was at that place. It's incredible to see. I mean, just imagine those pigs jumping off. In the Luke passage, it says 2,000 pigs jumped off. They're swine. And they, verse 33, and they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything that was befallen to those possessed of the devils. And behold, this whole city came to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. We don't want you even here anymore. So after this terrifying night, they have this. Can I just ask you on this journey, what did the disciples really do? They just watched. You know, we're just along on this journey tonight watching and hopefully learning what they learned. There's no need to be afraid with what we're going to encounter. And we're going to see some really crazy things. In Luke, the disciples encounter some things through the day. And I say this in our house all the time. I think they finished the day and they said, we have seen strange things today. This journey brings us a lot of strange experiences, doesn't it? Amen? That's all part of the journey. You guys in this town have incredibly strange experiences. And I know they're coming our way as well. We've seen strange things today. How do you explain the encounter with these devils and then them going into pigs and then them going off the cliff? And then you think that the town would embrace it. But I'm telling you, 2,000 pigs going off the cliff, that's pretty bad for business, isn't it? How much would this pork plant lose losing 2,000 pigs? Listen, you Christians, you're bad for business. Get out of here. It's not very good. But not just that, this guy who was, blah, 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 he was a nut. Actually, here it says two. In the other Gospels, it says one. And there's a whole lot of theories about that. We're not going to get into that tonight because we're just looking at the mission. But so let's just say it was one, and he's come to his right mind. I mean, that's a spectacle in and of itself. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. You guys tracking with us tonight? So we got discipleship lessons. This is going to be a tough journey. And then we got storms, and it's crazy, and it's part of the journey. And then you have this incredible story of an encounter with a bunch of devil-possessed men or a couple. And then the response of the crowd. In Mark chapter 5, we get a little bit more to the story. And verse 15, what I want to look at here. And when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil, so this is where it left off in Matthew, the crowd kind of looking, and this guy that was possessed with the devil, or the two that had the legion, he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and it really was more about this. They were afraid. This guy that was crazy, they were more afraid that he was now altogether than even the way he was. He wasn't a threat then. He's actually more of a threat now. Isn't it interesting also, when we get saved, the Bible says that we are now seated in heavenly places, we are clothed with his righteousness, and we are of a sound mind. This is the testimony of someone who gets saved, just like you and I. And when that happens in this town, does that not bring a threat to people's families? It brings problems to businesses. I don't want any of this. Now, this story continues here because this guy wants to go where the disciples were going. He wants to go with Jesus. Look at verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go with him, might be with Christ, might go with the disciples. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. So this guy, Jesus says, no, you're not going with us. You need to stay, and you need to go tell your friends. Now, the Decapolis, the letters D-E-C kind of tell you what that is. That was 10 cities. Dec is 10. There were 10 cities that made the Decapolis. And this guy, Jesus said, go tell your friends in all of those cities. When I was over in Israel, I was in a couple of those cities. I walked, they've uncovered the streets, and I walked them, and I thought, that guy was walking on this street that was crazy. There was a theater in one of the towns, and I walked into it, and I thought, okay, so he was a freak before. And he's in his right mind. We want to hear from this guy. I thought, I bet he was in that theater preaching Jesus. The cool thing about this story, again, back to our mission, how are we doing? The Bible says, ye shall receive power, and then he says, ye shall be my witnesses. God has equipped us. God has intended us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, to go. This guy, the disciples were on, they needed to get back into the ship and go back and minister to the Jews. This guy, Jesus said, to go tell your friends. What I love about this thing about being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, this guy, how much training did he need to go and just tell his friends about Jesus? Sometimes we lose our passion and we lose our telling people about what God did for us, but as soon as you're saved, you have the ability to go tell somebody what happened to you, right? The other thing I like about this is the gospel is always associated with our feet, right? Blessed are those that take the gospel with their feet. And he equates, my wife hates feet. She hates them. She will never rub my feet. She won't look at my feet. She thinks feet are disgusting. And I'm like, God loves feet. You're in sin. He does. He loves the feet of those that carry the gospel. Rub my feet. It's just a problem we have in our marriage. But God loves feet. Why? The gospel is associated with our feet, and your feet go places my feet don't go. Only you go where you go. I was talking to, you went to school today and you witnessed to 2 kids. I can't go into your school and talk to those kids, but you can. Just like Jesus said, go tell your friends. That is the mission. You are his witness. Praise God for you doing that. You were convicted yesterday. You were going to go talk to him, and you did it. I can't go in there. You can go in there. Mike Blake, you can't go in and talk to his friends, but he can go talk to his friends. This is a very, ye shall be my witnesses. It's part of the mission and plan of God. And he's empowered us to do it. And only you go where you go. I can't go into the Monmouth Police Department and be a light or a witness for Jesus Christ, but you can. I mean, I can a little bit, but you're there every day with them, and you stand out, and you're different. I'm a pastor in Greentown. I can get into places you can't get into. I love it. But God, listen, we will either be his witnesses or we will not. And the witness work will get done or it will not. You know what you got to have to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? You got to have some passion. You know what else you have to have for the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish this mission? You got to have some power. You get those 2 things, you shall be witnesses. Amen? This journey, very interesting. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to involve a transient lifestyle. Sometimes it's going to mean we're going to sacrifice some of the conveniences that we love. I think those guys got on the boat. You're in the boat right now, but will you get in this boat that's a little harder? Will you see the storms the way that God says the storms are? Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? What if the storms are worse? And then finally, we're going to see some crazy, crazy things on this journey. I just like it. And you think you've seen crazy up till now. What crazy stuff lies ahead? 2 maniacs coming out of the tombs, I don't think was what any of those guys expected when they got on the boat. But they got over there and they're like, well, at least he's awake. That's what I would say. At least he's awake right now. And they didn't do anything. He really does the majority of the work. And then to that one guy, go. There's so much in here about the mission. You shall be my witnesses. You go tell your friends. That is your specific mission. These guys, we got a mission over in Israel. We're going to go back and do that over here. And they went back and did that thing. God calls you to a mission. If he tells you to go and be a witness, to go do this, go do that, will you go? Ye shall be my witnesses. God, the Lord's counting on us. He's going to get the work done anyways, but he's counting on you and I. He's counting on you and I to say, Lord, like Isaiah, Here am I, send me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Maple City Baptist Church, you are at a new level. Let's go higher. Let's go further. Let's listen for the Lord. Let's be faithful in the storm. Let's not be afraid of the storms. Let's get better. Let's not get worse. A lot of Christians, they just continue to get worse in their life. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Passion, power, purpose. Do you love it? All right. That's the message tonight. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for these things that you said before you left. You came alive by your passion. Some of us in this room, we still haven't got the passion back. We're not even committed to try. I pray that you'd stir somebody tonight to just start getting a little more excited. And God, for the power to know that it's there and to trust that it's there. Lord, I was thinking, I don't always feel the power. Sometimes I just feel like I'm doing it on my own, and I seek then the power. Be filled with the Spirit. I get in the Word of God. I get in prayer. I pray for it because I don't want to do anything on my own. And God, help us to desire that. You just feel it when you're walking with the Lord and you're doing what you're supposed to do. And then, Lord, this little journey, it's a really strange story in the midst of everything that you did. Getting in the boat, we're in it together, going across the sea. And, Lord, some of us are going to have very lonely missions like that man to go into the Decapolis and to be your witnesses. But, God, you said we shall be witnesses. It's what you've designed us for. It's what you've intended for us to be. Will you help us to be that? We thank you for the good word tonight, Lord. We thank you for the great example. This storm really happened. It probably was supernatural. We thank you for the supernatural, weird things that happened to us in this journey as well that we can hopefully now see as such. We love you, and you deserve just our very best. And we give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.